Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Those of you who don't know, that was from Everybody Loves Raymond, and the mother on that show, Marie. It's just hilarious. There's a little bit of all of our mothers in Marie somewhere when you watch the show, which is what makes it so funny. And truth be known, if you're really honest, it's hard to see it in the mirror. There's probably a little bit of you in the way that you parent, in the way that Marie parents. And that's kind of what we're going to be getting into this morning. One of the things about Marie is she has this issue with she always is taking responsibility for things that aren't really her responsibility. She's always sitting in her nose and things that where they don't belong. And what's happened is she's tried to be a great mother to these kids, but she's never shifted responsibility to her children the way that every good mother should. And so what's happened is that both the boys grow up and they end up marrying women who these boys kind of force their wives to become mothers themselves of them. And so it's almost like they both the boys need mothering. And so here he is. He's a grown man with like 19 years on the police force, and his mother is writing him a note to his future employer, possibly telling him he needs to hire him. Why? Because she's trying to take responsibility for something that's not hers. And you notice even in the letter, she says, blame me, it's my fault, everything always is. And she's sort of saying that partially dramatic, but also that's part of her failures as a parent. And we laugh at it because we know that transferring responsibility is something we have to do as parents, but it's a very difficult thing. And in this series, we're going to be looking at a series of life lessons or laws that are just things we need to learn in life. And they're things we're supposed to learn at home, things we're supposed to learn when we're young. And if we don't, we will suffer the consequences throughout the rest of our life. And really what we need to do as parents is help our children put the pieces together, because life's kind of like a puzzle and you got to figure out some things. And you know, when you're putting together a puzzle, there are certain laws that you got to follow. Like when you're putting together a puzzle, what do you do first? Find all the corners. After you find the corners, you find all the edges. Once you find all the edges, you put all the edges and the corners together. After that, you find all the pieces that look the same color and you put them in different steps. Well, at least the way I do it. Some of y'all are just random, haphazard, throwing stuff together, random, whatever. But there's laws that help you really put together the puzzle well. And one of those simple laws also is like looking at the image of what the puzzle is supposed to look like, right? Another really good law is never get one of those 1,000-piece puzzles. Keep it to like 20 pieces or less, something that's fun and enjoyable. That's the only way a puzzle is fun. But when we don't understand these laws, it's really hard to know how to put these pieces together. It's really hard to know how to figure out life. And so one of our jobs as parents is to teach these life lessons to children when they're young, so when they're old, they will not depart from it. And one of the lessons that we see from the scriptures is there's a law of responsibility. And like every law I read about like this, you don't need God to tell you this, but God tells you it. You know, to learn that you need to take responsibility for your own actions, I don't think you need to believe in a heavenly creator to know that you ought to do this, right? You can figure that out on your own, because these laws are like gravity. You don't have to be a Christian to understand gravity is a real thing. In the same way, you don't have to be a Christian to understand responsibility is a real thing. However, when you look to the scriptures, you find not only is it a real thing, but it's part of the way God created us, and responding to that will bring us closer to a relationship with him as well. You see things like this are reflected in our walk with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says that we need to continue to work out our own salvation. That's where God's saying, listen, your relationship between you and me, you need to take responsibility for that. You can't expect somebody else to take responsibility for that. And this is something we is reflected in how we've set up this church, where there's, if you ever look at our logo, it's actually four interlocking hearts. Maybe if you've never noticed that, just look at it a little bit deeper, stare at it. Eventually a 3D image will appear. No, it's not like that. I always want to make something like that. But anyways, you'll eventually see there's four interlocking hearts. One going up, there's, you know, points to we need to be loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then there's hearts going either side to love others that we're doing life together with in the context of our church family and small groups. We also need to love people who maybe are nothing like us, who maybe don't believe the same way we do, or maybe are a different life stage than we are. We serve them both inside the church walls and outside the church walls. But then that heart that faces downward, if we're going to be a wholehearted Christian, that heart that faces downward says you need to love yourself enough to live a holy life. That means you need to take responsibility for your relationship with God. And one of the quotes that always stuck with me was by a guy named Stephen Furtick. He's a pastor down in Charlotte. And somebody after one of the services came up to him and said, Pastor, a year ago you preached the best message you've ever given. It changed my life. And he sort of responded back. He says, well, I really appreciate the compliment, but I kind of have slight little issue. Maybe I think we need to requalify a little bit. It's not that I think I preach a great message every Sunday. And it's not that I think that message probably in a better or any way worse than any other. What I do know from Scripture, though, is that from Hebrews 4:12 is that all of God's word is powerful. And it's powerful enough to change your life. And every week I'm getting up and I'm teaching God's word. So every message has the power to change your life. I think what you're referring to is not the power with which I preached. What I think you're referring to about that message is you have never listened better than you had that Sunday, and you have never applied better than you had that Sunday. And it's because you listened and applied and you took responsibility to do and not just be a hearer that something changed in your life. It's like when Jesus concludes the most famous sermon he ever preached, called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He concludes it with this parable where he says, it's like a man who built a house. Anybody who hears the words of mine and does them is like a man who builds his house on a rock. And it lasts, and it's permanent, and there's an actual life change there. But anybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't do anything about it is like a person who builds their house on sand, and eventually the water and the winds of life just wash it right away. And so what he's getting there at the end of everything he said is, listen, it's not about what I've said really that matters as much as what you do with what has been said. And so that's part of the law of responsibility. You need to take responsibility to change, and you need to take responsibility to listen and do, because we can't make you, and we can't force you. And for some people, they hop from church to church to church to church to church. Why? Because that church isn't changing me. Newsflash, they're not going to change you. We're doing baptisms coming up in June. We're not going to knock on your door and send you a note and say, you haven't been baptized, you need to. You know if you have or haven't been baptized. You know if that's a step you need to take with you, in your life. Just like with parents, we didn't call up every parent in the church and tell you had to get your child dedicated. But some of you have responded and said, I need to take responsibility for the way that I parent, and I want to go before everybody and make a commitment that I'm going to parent my child the way that God says for me to. So we take responsibility for our own actions. We'll see how that's actually ingrained in the very fiber who we are in a minute when we get down to Genesis. But as parents, we need to teach this to our children. This is a life lesson we need to teach to our children. You need to take responsibility for your own actions. Children need to learn that they're responsible for their feelings, for their emotions, for their behaviors, for what they say and for what they do. And it's so easy for a parent to want to step in and rescue them from their consequences. That's what Marie does all the time. She's always trying to step in and rescue her children from the consequences of their actions. And even if it means writing a letter to, dear Mr. FBI agent who's interviewing my son, she's trying to rescue her son. There's a proverb, though, about this. It says, don't do it, basically. It says, Proverbs 19:19. It says, a hot-tempered person must pay the penalty for their actions. If you rescue them, you'll have to do it again and again and again. And as parents, you so desperately want to rescue your children from the mistakes that they make, but sometimes you need to let them face the consequences. Sometimes you need to support them through the consequences. You might pay the bill because they broke a window, but they better be working it off in chore hours around your house to pay off those. They got to learn. If they don't, they're going to keep doing it again and again and again. And they be parented on into their parenting years. There are some other principles we see this reflected out in our life. Over in Galatians, this is a passage I taught almost 2 years ago, back in November of 2013. If you want more detailed explanation of this passage, go back and look at the Unchristian series. There's a message called Trunks and Backpacks, and it centers around Galatians chapter 6, where he says, each of us should carry and help one another with their burdens. In this way, we obey the law of Christ. Because if you think you're too important to help somebody else, you're just fooling yourself. He says, you're not that important. But pay careful also attention to your own work, for then you'll get satisfaction from a job well done. You won't need to compare yourself to anybody else anymore. For we're each responsible for our own conduct. And in that message, I talked about how each of us has a backpack of stuff we got to carry. It's our responsibility. It's the law of responsibility at work in our life. Each of us has a responsibility to provide for ourselves, to take care of our consequences of our actions. We're responsible for how we feel and how we dress and how we look, the things that we say. We're responsible for that. That's our responsibility. I got to clean up after myself. I got to clean up my own mess. However, every once in a while, life will deal something that is more than you can bear. It's a tragedy that happens in your life, or something that's so big it's beyond you. It's like that's more than what can fit in your backpack. That's like what ends up in a trunk. And a trunk is too heavy to carry, so you need somebody else to come along and help you carry. And that's what we do. So we come along as Christian brothers and sisters. We help people carry burdens which are more than they can bear. And I've been through things in my life where you as a church have come around me and helped me carry the load for an extended time. When I was trying to become a daddy mommy, you all helped me carry the load and helped me figure it out. And I had moms come over to the house and say, no, you can't keep feeding your kids French fries and hamburgers and pizza and stuff like that. They need to learn how to eat real food. And so then you kind of cooked a few meals for me for a while and then said, all right, You got to do it yourself. Fend for yourself. And that was very, very helpful. I'm looking out. I'm seeing many of you were blessings to me in that time. But if you all were still making meals for me, there'd be a problem, right? At some point, that had to go in my backpack. You carry the trunk for a while, but at some point, it's got to go in your backpack. And as parents, you got to transfer responsibility to them. And it's gradual over time. You know when they're first born, they can't take responsibility for much anything else other than just telling you when they have a need. And it's a blessing when they tell you when they have a need, right? Because then you know how to meet it. If a child didn't cry when he was hungry, he may starve to death. If he didn't cry when he needed a nap, you may not know to put him down for a nap. You'd overwork him. So they take responsibility to telling you when their needs are. But eventually, you got to transfer that responsibility. And as a parent, this is one of the hardest things you'll do as a parent. I remember for me, I had a couple eye-opening experiences. One was when I was in my daddy mama phase, I took Jackson on one of his field trips for school out to, I think, Buckner Farms or one of the places they go strawberry picking. They go strawberry picking, and then they kind of show them life on the farm. And we get over this area where the animals are. And so the lady's up there talking with all of the kids in my son's class there. And she's talking about how there's chores on the farm. Everybody, when you live on a farm, everybody has chores to do. We feed the animals. We bathe the animals. We shear the sheep, and we care for them and all these things. And so she said, how many of you all have chores around your house? And all the kids raised their hand, including my kids. And then she said, what are some of the chores your kids do around the house? And they start spouting off things that shocked me. You know, kids are doing their own laundry, and they're doing dishes, and they're cleaning up their room, and they're cleaning bathrooms. And I'm like, and I'm wanting to look at my kid and say, you lazy, good for not. But was it his fault that he wasn't doing all that stuff? Or was it my fault he wasn't doing all that stuff? And it was funny. As all this stuff's going out, I'm looking at him, right? And we're kind of having this look. And I'm feeling convicted. I wanted to blame him, but I knew I had to take responsibility because I hadn't transferred that. I hadn't taught him how to take responsibility, right? Meanwhile, he's sitting there thinking to himself, Dad, don't you get any ideas. No. These kids have bad parents that are putting them in forced labor. You see, because for children, they see there's a difference with kids between what they're unable to do and what they're uncomfortable doing. Okay, there's a difference. There really is. But the kids don't see the difference. They see anything they're uncomfortable with or makes them stretch a little bit is something they're unable to do because I'm not able to do things that are uncomfortable. I'm only able to do things that are comfortable. And if it's something I'm able to do, it'll be easy. It's kind of their mindset. But you as a parent need to figure out what is age appropriate and what is my child able to do. And you can go onto websites and say, you can type in third grader chores. It will blow your mind at what other third graders around the country are doing. You really want to have an eye-opening experience, go to Nicaragua. See what children your age are doing, your kids' age are doing in Nicaragua. You got kids who are 10, 11 years old who are like literally child care providers for the entire family, who are cooking meals for the whole family. And you're thinking, I wouldn't even let my kid near a hot stove. I'm just telling you, in some parts of the country, they learn. If it's hot, you don't touch it, and you learn what you do and you don't touch. I'm just telling you, they figured this stuff out. For me, I need a little bit more than that. Rebecca and I got married, and so she's coming in, and literally, I mean, you want to talk about a mother who needs to be honored. I'm just going to give it up for my wife because she, like, stepped into a chaos of a situation that I left for her and just jumped in there and has become an amazing mom. And we were kind of going through it, and she just came to me and she says, you know, we need to get a parenting coach. I'm like, parenting coach? I don't need a coach. I know what I'm doing. You might need it. I don't need a coach. And she looked at me and she goes, no. I see the way you've parented. We need a coach. So I was like, all right, we'll do it. So we go into that first meeting, and I'm going to go in there and tell her about my parenting, just letting her pat me on the back and basically say, I've been a pro at this. I've been doing this, you know, 7, 8 years, but she's new to the game, so whatever you need to teach her how to do, I'll just sit here and listen. You know where this went. Oh, my goodness. She reamed me up one side and down another. What do you mean the kids aren't cutting their own food? Well, it's hard for them. She says, doesn't mean they can't do it. Just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean they're not able. And she began to push us, and she wasn't even kind about it. And it's funny, we went there. It's like, we went for parenting coaching, but we feel like two kids coming before mommy going, here's what we did this week. Give us a report card, you know, and she's just sitting there with red ink on everything that we're doing. You know, one of the biggest eye-openers was, you know, we needed to raise our expectations for what Jewel was capable of. I've got a special needs daughter, Jewel. And I think one of the most eye-opening things, most offensive yet you need to hear it, you know, kind of thing was, listen, you've got a child who's got special needs, who has a mental retardation, yet she is outsmarting you. What does that make you feel like? And she was. That girl, when she doesn't want to do something, she can figure out a way to say, I can't. I don't know how. And you just look at these cute little eyes and her charm and it's sweet. Oh, my poor baby. And I want to carry her everywhere. She used to want to be carried everywhere. She said, her legs work. You don't carry her. And what do you know? Jewel has issues with low tone on her legs. Why? Because we carried her so much when she was a little girl. You know, she can get dressed. She can put away clothes. She can make her bed. Why? Because we're asking her to now. And before, we just did it all. And so I'm beginning to realize we need to raise the expectations for what we expect out of children. We need to transfer responsibility. And here's the thing. For most parents, especially in the 21st century, you're not transferring responsibility timely. You're putting it off and you're putting it off, putting it off. And it's no wonder that adolescence, this phrase that was invented in the United States, adolescence, this place where a kid is like half child, half adult, is extending long beyond it should. You know, back in biblical times, they became a man at age 13, okay? And then about our previous generations, people became adults somewhere between 18 to 21. And now in our generation, it's sometime in the late 20s, even early 30s, before our kids are finally reaching adulthood and taking responsibility for their own problems. And is that the kid's fault or the parent's fault? It's us. We're to blame for this. And maybe you need a parent coach. If you need a parent coach, I'll give you the number for mine. Here's the thing. She's not cheap, but she's worth it. And she's one of the greatest, she's the greatest investment Rebecca and I do for our kids. Because I'll go in there thinking I know something, she'll go in there, and we basically say, okay, tell us what we need to do. And she's like, you're both wrong. Here's what you need to do. So it's great. So the law of responsibility, we need to transfer it to our kids. And we also need to understand this is part of what's ingrained in us from our creation. I firmly believe we're not a biological accident. I believe that God placed us here. He has a purpose for our life, and he created us with intent. And he hardwired certain things into our life. And one of those things is the desire to take responsibility for things. And if you go back to Genesis 1, you look at the story about how God created humanity. He sets them there, and he says, listen, you got some jobs to do. It's not just here to enjoy paradise. You got some jobs to do in paradise. You need to make babies, and you need to control. You need to take care of everything. You need to control everything. You're in dominion over all that has been made. That's a huge responsibility. Everything God made, he handed it to us and says, you take care of it for me. And you think about it, that's what we eventually have to do with our kids. Everything we have, eventually we give to them and say, this is yours, take care of it. You know, one day we're going to give them the car keys and say, you know, this is yours to borrow, take care of it. You know, this is yours to have, take care of it. One day, perhaps maybe you'll look to some young man and give your daughter to him and say, this is yours to take care of it. And you hope that their parent taught them how to take care and take responsibility. So it's in our nature, it's part of who we are to learn to take responsibility. And as men, we know this. This is part of, you know, we love taking responsibility. One of the reasons why we love getting promotions at work or making ranks at work, it's not just about the money. For most of us, it's not about the money. It's about having more responsibility. It's about having more things to do. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is the prayer of Jabez. It's out of like Chronicles 4, 10. Yeah, so favorite, I have it memorized. Anyways. But he says, oh, Lord, that you would enlarge my territory. I mean, that is like a man's prayer, if ever was a man's prayer. God, I want to be able to handle more. And a lot of we take on more than we can handle sometimes. But we always say, God, I want to take responsibility for more. I want to be pushed. I want to be challenged to see if I can manage more people or manage more finances, manage more assets, manage more land, manage more areas, manage more business, manage a bigger district. We always love to take on more and more responsibility. By the way, it's a great passage. It says, I want to take on more responsibility. Then he also says, God, keep me from doing evil because I don't want to hurt anybody. In other words, I don't want to mess this up if you're going to give me more. I want to be able to be worthy of that trust. And for women, it's no different. You love responsibility. It's a part of who you're hardwired to be. And you love the responsibility you take on. This whole holiday we're celebrating right now is how is celebrating you for what you do to take responsibility for your family, for your children, and for those around you. Those who are single moms, you're not just taking care of the family, but you're taking care of everything else. Many of you who are military wives who become what we call military, single wife military. What is it called when like you're married but you're by yourself for half the year? What do they call that? Geo-bachelors, geo-widows, I don't know how that's called. Anyways, you do amazing things, and you take on amazing responsibility, and mothers, you know, you revel in the opportunity to play Dr. Mom and be able to heal your child of whatever sickness it is and be able to diagnose this and help him and fix it. You revel in the opportunity to become the math tutor and help them understand algebra and figure these things out. You revel the opportunities. Sometimes you bemoan it, but you revel the opportunities to play the taxi who drives them around their activities, to be an event party planner, to to enjoy just making the perfect birthday celebration for them in the cake. You revel in just taking those responsibilities and caring for your children. And sometimes we do it too much. Just like guys like to take too much responsibility more than anything. Sometimes as moms, we take on too much responsibility for our kids and we want to nurture them. We want to rescue them. We want to care for them beyond what we should. And it's hard to give this up because sometimes we feel like as if we're giving up our motherhood. No, you're not giving up motherhood. You're just becoming the mother at the proper stage. And what motherhood looks like at infancy is going to be very different than what motherhood looks like at age 20. And sometimes you go from the provider to sometimes you just become the relational therapist. And you move through those roles and you have to adapt and grow and enjoy those roles. And children, it says in the scriptures, as they see their mother doing that, and they recognize all the responsibility they've taken on. They rise up and call you blessed. And hopefully more than just one day of the year, they honor you and praise you because of the responsibility you've taken for their life and how you've transferred it to them in a timely manner. And so mothers, we want to thank you, of course, on Mother's Day for what you do. So they're in the garden. They were given responsibility. And when you're taking responsibility for your actions, there's not a lot of rules because you don't really have to have a lot of rules. Everybody's taking responsibility for what they do. So there's just one rule. And eventually, of course, they break that one rule. And you get down to Genesis chapter 3, and you kind of come to the question of, okay, whenever we do something wrong, how do we take responsibility for it? We see a great example of taking responsibility in Genesis chapter 3. It says that the Lord God was walking in the garden, as he always did in the cool of the day, and it was right after they had made a mistake. They had ate of something they shouldn't have eaten of, and he looks out, and he can't find Adam anywhere. Can't find Eve anywhere. He says, Adam, where you at, man? Where you at? And Adam says, well, I was hiding. It says in verse 10, I was hiding in the garden because I was afraid because I was naked. I was like, who told you were naked? How'd you figure that one out? That was kind of like God's little joke about the whole time. Everyone around there naked. They don't even realize it. But he realized all of a sudden they were naked. And he says, God says, wait a minute. Have you done something you shouldn't have done? Have you eaten from the tree I told you not to eat of? And if you look in the word, Adam says back, he says, yes, yes, I did. I take full responsibility for my actions. Do with me what you will, but leave Eve out of it. Just like Tim McGraw said, don't take the girl, Lord. This is my fault and my fault alone. I'm going to man up in this moment. I'll take the bullet. It was all my fault. She had nothing to do with this. And some of y'all are laughing because you read your Bible. And it went more like it did in your household. Where he says, oh, about that. Yeah, about that. You want to know about that? But what happened? Well, the woman that you put here did that. You see, so it's like this, God, I was just minding my own business. Everything was good. Everything was fine. I was a little lonely. It was just me and the animals, but that's all right. I didn't even know what a woman was until all of a sudden you showed up on the scene. I fell asleep. I woke up and there was this woman and she was here and she's let me down a bad path, God. And so whatever's happened here, it's your fault for bringing her and her fault for being here. Whatever it is, it's between you and her. So you can leave me out of this. You guys sort this out and just let me know how it goes. And you're like, that sounds a little bit more like my house. Because when we don't take responsibility for what we've done, we shift and we blame. And whenever we blame, there's conflict that arises. See, whenever you don't take responsibility, conflict always arises. It can happen one of two ways. Either you blame somebody and conflict comes up, or you don't blame anybody, but somebody still has to pay for your consequences, right? When you don't take responsibility, somebody else has to. Here's the way it works in our house. One of our rules is after you get out of the shower, you don't leave your towel on the bedroom floor. It's just part of my thing. I'm a little quirky, I know. I don't really think it's a good idea to leave wet towels on the middle of a carpeted floor. And so for whatever reason, this is a very, very difficult thing to understand in the mind of a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old. And so I'll come in and I'll see the towel on the floor. Now, they're irresponsible. It was their towel. They're responsible for putting it back up. And as a parent, I have a choice in this moment what I am going to do. Now, the easiest thing for me, really, the easiest thing is to take responsibility for their actions, right? I pick it up, I go hang it up. That takes me all of about 12 seconds. If you time it out, probably can do it in 4, okay? The hard thing to do in that moment is to go jerk them out of whatever fun activity they're in. By the way, my parenting coach says, whenever they've done something irresponsible, you should literally immediately jerk them out of their pleasurable environment because that's part of the pain. That's part of the consequence because I'm doing something I enjoy, but I can't do something I enjoy because I didn't do something I should have done. That's a life lesson right there, isn't it, folks? So you jerk them out, not like yank them, but you remove them from whatever fun activity they're doing, and this instant you come up. And one of the things I do sometimes with Jackson, I got this from Andy Stanley when he talked about this. I said, I come to Jackson, I say, Jackson, Your towel's on the floor. Oh, I'll get it. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You had a chance to pick that up. Now what I want you to do is I want you to call your mother, ask her to come in here and pick it up for you. He may not be smart enough to figure out not to put the towel on the ground, but he knows this is not a good road to go down. No, Dad, I'll just pick it up. No, 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 no. You could have picked it up 20 minutes ago when you took a shower. But you see, because you didn't do it, you're forcing your mother or me to do it, okay? And usually your mother is the one here to do it, and she oftentimes just does it. So instead of just like by default expecting her to do it, why don't you call her up right now and ask her and say, Mom, I know it's Mother's Day, but one of the things I thank you for on Mother's Day is picking up after me, and I left you some stuff upstairs to take care of, all right, Mom? Appreciate it, Toots. I'll see you later. You see, you're teaching them that when you don't take responsibility, you're making somebody else take responsibility. And as a parent, sometimes you get aggravated, right, when you have to take responsibility for your kids. That's part of that conflict that comes in. Anytime you don't take responsibility, conflict ensues. And so, of course, Eve then says to God, you're right, God, it is all my fault. I made this decision. I led our family astray. No, she says, the serpent did it. The serpent's sitting there grinning from ear to ear and goes, that's right, I did, and this is fun to watch. Because he's all about creating this kind of conflict. He's all about trying to push you towards areas of irresponsibility. And so as we look to our own lives, there's a lesson we need to learn in childhood. If we haven't learned in childhood, we'll have to learn in young adulthood. If we don't learn in young adulthood, we'll be learning it for the rest of our life. But eventually we need to learn, I need to take responsibility for my actions. So where does this leave us on this Mother's Day? Well, you got a couple homework assignments. Number one is ask yourself the question, between you as parents, if you're parenting a child, have we transferred the appropriate amount of responsibility to our children right now? And if you don't know, you can go on websites and you're read about age-appropriate chores. There's a lot of great books out there. Like one of the ones I just reread is Boundaries for Kids by Townsend and Cloud, not Clown and Townsend. So you can read that, Boundaries for Kids, and read up and just say, am I age-appropriately transferring responsibility to my children? If you need a parenting coach, come see me. I'll give you mine. She ain't nice, but she's good. She won't be sweet to you. She'll tell you that like it is. She will parent you the way you need to be parenting your kids, I'll tell you that, which is a wake-up call for us because we're always nervous going into those conversations. So am I age-appropriately transferring responsibility to my kids? Along with that question is, am I rescuing my child from consequences that they need to handle on their own? Am I rescuing my child from stuff that they need to learn? Because if I do, I'll be doing it for the rest of their life like Mother Barone was doing. It's funny, but it's not what we want. Next question is, what part of my relational dysfunctions are my fault? What part of my relational dysfunctions are my fault? You see, I do a little bit of marriage counseling here and there, and I always tell people, listen, I'm not a relational therapist. If you've got issues of dysfunction in your life that go back to childhood or things where you just don't know right from wrong and you're not able to do them, I can't help you with that. However, if you want to know what God's word says about your situation, that's what I do. Usually it takes about one session. We can sit down. You tell me what's going on. I can tell you what God's word says about your situation. However, what I cannot do, what nobody can do, is fix the person who's not in the room. Because what we like therapists, because we go into a therapist, we sit down and we say, let me tell you everything my husband's doing. Let me tell you about my wife and how she's done me wrong. Let me tell you about my kids and what a burden they are right now. And we just kind of want to vent and want to get it out. And pretty much we always think that the answer to our issue is always them, right? If they would just change, my life would be better. And I always have to ask a question. First of all, I always say, we can't fix who's not in the room. We can only fix you, and you're sitting in front of me, so let's work on you. Whoa, 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 but I'm not the problem. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So are you telling me that you are Jesus Christ in your family? That, I mean, when you look at the issues and the dysfunctions, 100% of them are them, and you are literally the walking incarnate God in the flesh in your house? Well, don't exaggerate. That's just, now you're patronizing. Whoa, 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 whoa. You just said you don't have any problems. I just rephrased what you said. Now, is there something here that you're, what is it? Because that's the only thing we can work on here today. So let's work on that right now. Let's talk about you. Like Toby Keith says, let's talk about me. Let's talk about I. Let's talk about one, me, my, oh my. Right now, that's what you need to be thinking about is what is it about you that we can work on and change today? Yeah, but this would be so much easier if they were here. Yeah, but they're not. But they're not. And if they come in, I'll have a hard conversation with them. And a lot of times when I do marriage counseling, they both show up, I usually have to kick one of them out of the room. Because it's not very helpful for me to like berate one of them in front of the other spouse. Like, you heard what the pastor said. I don't want any of that junk. And if you've done counseling, you know I'm not nice to you a lot of times. I tell you what you need to hear. and I'll tell you what you need to know, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Every one of us has sinful dysfunction in our life. We need to take ownership of it. Accept the things I can't change, right? Them. Take responsibility for the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's one of the serenity prayers. That's how you have peace of mind. So often we think everything is their fault. It's not. So what in your life, what in your relational dysfunctions, whether your parents, with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends, people at work, is your portion that you need to work on? What are the things that you can do? We looked last week, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. What are the things that depend on you to live at peace with all people? And then lastly, I want you to compliment your mothers on what they've done in your life to take responsibility for you, to care for you, and how they've transferred that to you. What is something that you are a better person today for what they've done in your life and how they've taught you a responsibility, whether it be financial management, how to care for people, how to love for people? What have they done that you can compliment them specifically for and thank them this Mother's Day for how they've transferred that responsibility and taught you this law and lesson in your life? Will you join with me as we close? Father, I thank you for your love and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you have parented us and you have taught us these truths, sometimes the hard way. And Father, may we just pause for a moment and just think through our life and what is stuff we need to take responsibility for today? There are some things that we continue to do over and over and over again, and we want to blame our environment, our background, our situation. And somewhere in there is this lie that you're not powerful enough. You're not strong enough. You're not great enough to help us make positive changes. So, Father, we just come before you and we confess our sins and where we have failed. And look now, Father, to go out and apply what we've learned, take responsibility for our own actions. And as parents in the room, Father, to transfer responsibilities appropriately. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.